Today's March 13th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $73,278.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick? Oh, not much. Just waiting for Pi Day to roll around.
All right, it's almost here. What, tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, yeah.
3.14. And what, new day and new all-time high in Bitcoin again?
Hey, I was expecting it to take off more, but it's still just closing higher and higher, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yesterday we had almost kissed 73,000. And then it kind of broke down, right? And then this morning, it looks like we almost touched 74,000. We haven't quite made it there yet. And it's been kind of, but we did, you know, cross over that 73,000 barrier.
Well, yeah.
We don't have a barrier anymore. We don't know what's going on. We're in price discovery.
For price discovery, there's a lot more barriers than I was expecting. But
yeah,
it's a totally different market. The fact that we're at an all-time high before a halving is pretty mind-boggling, actually.
Yeah, no, it's very, very crazy. How are we doing on our theoretical Bitcoin purchase?
Yeah, theoreticals that we keep bringing up, and I threw off an offhand, remark back in October 27th, said if you bought $3,000 of Bitcoin today, you'd be sitting pretty here in the not-too-distant future. And boy, was I right. I mean, I threw that out, but it's... if you purchased $3,000 back then, it would have equated 0.0885 Bitcoin. And the current price with 73,000, your $3,000 would have basically turned into 6,485.
So well over doubling at this point.
Yes.
We were, and I guess to be fair, last time we recorded, which was on March 10th, we were already doubled. But now, almost $3,500 doubled.
Yes. I mean, 6,100 to 6,400. So yeah, it just seems like, it's not taking off to the moon. I mean, for Bitcoin, I guess we're a little bit spoiled because when it takes off, it goes crazy. When it crashes, it goes crazy. And right now, it's just a kind of a steady climb.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. If you go back and listen to the episodes kind of in order, just hearing how that number is increasing. We never dip below our initial investment from that time period, right?
No. That's kind of before the news. Well, I think the price started going up in around that era when, I think it was the rumors about the ETFs were coming out. And so people were kind of buying that, buying the rumor.
Yeah. Yeah. And yesterday was just an incredible day. I didn't know if we were going to, how we were going to kind of start off. What we're looking at right now, on March 12th, Bitcoin exchange traded funds experienced a staggering 1.05 billion in net inflows. That's not trading volume, that's net inflows. The surge in inflows aligns with Bitcoin's impressive rally as it reached all-time high price level, which is where we're at currently. And the biggest winner in that whole thing was iBit, BlackRock's iBit. They brought in $849 million yesterday.
That's insane.
And that's just them alone. And we're looking, you've got nine others. That doesn't count Grayscale, because Grayscale already had a huge allotment of Bitcoin in their trust. And then one of the other pieces of news that kind of came on that as well, that I think, so there was a couple things. Trump had some positive things to say about Bitcoin, and I won't say completely positive, but that helped. And then we had Grayscale announce what they're filing for, what they're calling a mini trust, which their hope is that they can come out with a new convertible version of their Bitcoin trust. The ticker symbol is going to be BTC, and it's going to carry lower fees than what they currently have. So we'll see. Maybe that can stop some of the outflows, and I think that's what Grayscale's hoping for.
Yeah. Well, they're the only selling pressure that's been applied to this market since the ETFs have opened.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And We had a discussion on Monday, and I know we didn't kind of talk about this before in the prep, but what were you going to use? You've been looking at some stuff from like a counter perspective on this bull market. Like, what are you hearing, or what did you see?
Well, you know, I'm trying to get different sources of information, and I don't dismiss them. If they like are diametrically opposed to my opinion, I actually want to hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, a lot of people get uncomfortable in that kind of scenario, but I kind of like it. I like questioning myself. And so, you know, some different people are saying, as far as the markets go, that it seems like, you know, for the real estate market cycle, a recession usually does not happen for another 1.5 to 2 years from now. Like 2025, 2026, we're due for a recession. Yeah. Just how that cycle goes. Another thing I was hearing is, you know, now that you're, this cycle is totally different. And if you think you're going to be able to time this, the highs in this market, they said, think again. Nowadays you are swimming with sharks. We've let them into the pool, and that's who we're swimming with now.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. When they opened up that floodgate to the institutional trader, like, you know, and we kind of touched on this before, but we're dealing with people that may not, you know, they haven't in a sense drank in the Kool-Aid, right? They have no loyalty to Bitcoin in some way. And with these, one of the things that I keep on getting uncomfortable with, and I know we've kind of talked about it, but at this point in the market, with the way we've seen, I think we've seen like a 91% increase since the ETFs were approved. Like in my head, in the past, Bitcoin will have a pullback. We have yet to have a considerable pullback. Yeah, we've had market swings, and I don't know if those market swings are enough to shake out kind of the leverage trades and those types of things that are sitting in the market and kind of wash it out to kind of keep it healthy. But that's my concern. That's my fear.
Yeah. Well, and that, you know, it's just been a steady uphill climb. But what happens when they decide to start pulling out of this market? I mean, are we going to see a swing in the other direction like we've never seen before as well?
And that's, you know, that is an absolute possibility, right?
Absolutely. Another thing I've heard that was kind of an interesting thought is, you know, we asked in a couple episodes ago, like, where is retail? Because all of the sales in Bitcoin have been going through these trusts. Not much of it. I mean, everything before that was pure retail, people getting on whatever exchange and buying it on their own. And there's not as much retail going on. And this person brought up the fact that, you know, a lot of Bitcoin enthusiasts maybe not Bitcoin enthusiasts, like Bitcoin adjacent people who've heard of it before. Most of them that know it have heard about the crashes with the different exchanges, whether it be Celsius, FTX being kind of the most popular ones. But, you know, a lot of people know people that got burned by that.
Yeah.
And they may be way more hesitant to get into this market than they would have been, say, in 2020.
Yeah. And that's definitely a good possibility. And especially for those that are, I won't even say sideliners, because that's more fringe, right? Like, they're people that are close to being on the sideline of Bitcoin, but they're not quite there yet. Like, they don't have that thesis in place or that true understanding yet. They just, they went through, you know, if they went through the 2020 and 2021 market, you know, they had their friends that were like, oh man, I made so much money, and then they bought in at the top and then they got burned, and they see all the horrible stories. I mean, the horrible stories continue every cycle for Bitcoin. Right? Like, you always hear those people that bought at the top, they mortgaged their home. They bought at 20,000, you know, in 2017, 2018. It's like, ooh, that was a bad call on your part. Like, regardless of how you feel about Bitcoin, you need to remember this is still a very speculative asset at this point. And I mean, you have to be willing, whatever you're playing with, that you're willing to lose it. Like, you should not be leveraging your family's life on this,
or all of your future.
Yeah.
I mean, you could end up homeless if you are doing leveraged bets.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, when you start thinking you're a genius and you put that, you know, 10x leverage on something, goodbye.
Yeah. One little shakeout and you're done.
Well, and that's exactly why, like, I mean, when we look at that and we see where those you know, we have that move from 72,981, which happened on Monday, which was our manic Monday thing again, right? And then we see the pull down, you know, to 68,000. Like, some people got wrecked on that, guaranteed.
Right. Well, still, even with that, you know, this is something I mentioned right before the show, is we need a retracement to happen before the bull cycle really kicks off.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen a couple of pullbacks, but that's mainly Grayscale selling stuff, you know, whether it's FTX or what was the other exchange that they were selling for?
Yeah, well, there was Genesis.
Genesis.
And then obviously FTX. Celsius is kind of tied up in there too. I mean, and we've seen the market get rocked. I mean, when you look at, what was that? When we hit that $69,000 mark and then we got pulled down to, you know, 59,000, that's a pretty major drawdown, but it didn't stay that way. Like, the markets bought it up, and that's what we see every single time. We see those candles with those long wicks that go down, and then the ETFs are just chomping it.
Right. Yeah, they're not even speed bumps right now.
Mm-mm. No, it's like it's eaten up, and I think those types of moves in the previous market, in the previous bull cycle, or, you know, pre-halving, those would have led to those, you know, maybe a month, month and a half kind of retracement where we would have had to build back up.
Right.
But yeah, anyways, other news too that I thought would really affect Bitcoin's price is CPI came out for the month of February. And CPI increased from 3.1% in January to 3.2% for February. So we saw, you know, a tenth of a point increase on that. It's kind of interesting because we had talked about that, I think, last episode, or not last episode, but last time CPI numbers came out, and we knew it wasn't enough to actually increase interest rates, but it wasn't low enough to actually start to reduce interest rates.
Yeah. Well, and I just think in an election year, they have a lot less reasons to be, you know, increasing interest rates.
Yeah.
Politically, that's just an untenable position.
And from my understanding, like a majority of the increase that rose that, you know, interest or not interest inflation number on there was a 2.3% increase in energy costs contributed to the headline inflation number. Like, that was the biggest chunk of that. The other thing was housing increased by 0.4%. So those were your two big contributors to pushing that number up. And, you know, honestly, looking at some of these numbers, we may not see that get down to where they want it at that 2% for another year, if that's the case.
I think 2% as a target inflation rate is going to basically, that's like the horse that left the barn. You're just not getting it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the quote-unquote new normal.
Yeah, I wonder what it's going to take for them to see. I mean, because Jerome Powell has stated he still plans on cutting interest rates this year, but when is it going to happen?
Maybe after Trump is elected. I don't know.
Another thing that was kind of interesting that came out is we had the job reports that came out. And it was reported that there was 275,000 jobs added in February of 2024. But something that's kind of, there's some interesting data in here too that, of course, doesn't always get reported on. The unemployment rate rose by 3.9%, which is its highest level that they've recorded in the past 2 years. And then there was 100
risen to 3.9 or by 3.9%.
It rose to 3.9. So 3.9% is currently the unemployment rate.
Okay.
I would have to look and see what it was the previous month, because we've typically looked at the jobs that were added, but we haven't looked at what the unemployment rate really was. I don't recall us really talking about that too much. That may be something we start keeping tabs on. But then the other part of that too is that they've said that they had to revise down the job figures from December and January by 167,000 jobs.
Yeah, they're going to revise them down again. That's been the story like the past year or two. If you look at the whatever the numbers come out for, you know, especially in Christmas season, they are post-Christmas season, they keep getting revised down like two or three times.
Yeah.
And it's kind of frustrating. Well, it's pretty obvious why this is happening, is because you report the good news, and then every revision that gets added later where you're knocking those numbers down, that's like just becomes a footnote. That's not what the broadcast was to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're not hearing what the actual number turned out to be. And even these numbers, like, we don't believe them as it is.
No.
We haven't believed the CPI data because of what it was it 2 years ago now that they adjusted the basket?
Yeah. They're picking which basket of goods, you know, affects inflation.
And in what way? Yeah, it's whatever, I mean, the president wants to make himself feel better. Or whatever he can put in front of everybody to say, oh yeah, look at all this.
Yeah, if you look at inflation as far as, you know, especially the really high-end productive stuff, like where if you're buying real estate, you know, houses, if you're buying vehicles, I mean, it's risen a lot more than just, you know, 3%.
Yeah. Yep. So now that we're partway through the week, we're at $73,278. What's your prediction for week close?
It's probably not going to be much higher.
I mean, you're going to go sideways the rest of this week?
I think it's going to go, I mean, it's going to be a slight increase, if anything. It might touch 75 by the end of the week, but it's not going to, it seems like the Mondays when the ETFs reopen for business is when things go crazy all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, because when we look at that, you know, I should talk about that too. Like last episode, I was like, oh, we'll push over 70,000 by the market close for the weekly close. We didn't, right? We actually dropped. We went down to 67,000 as of Sunday night. And then we popped on Monday morning to that $71,000 mark and then pushed up into close to 73. And then pushed to 73 and then collapsed down. And then, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy action. There anything else you wanted to bring up today?
I think that's it. Just sign up for the newsletter. We'll have something coming out here pretty soon.
Yeah. And always remember that if you decide you want to join us on this crypto journey and you want to do self-custody, you can sign up to get your Ledger or Alipal wallet directly on our website. It's under the deals tab on our website, and that's the www.thebitbytepodcast.com. And thank you all for joining us.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.